Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What's up, you guys? Sean Rossap. It is June 14th, 2021. This is the post-Raw review at Fightful.com. This past weekend, we had a loaded weekend. NXT TakeOver. We had the post-show. We had the media call. We had a pre-show media call. There was UFC this weekend. Denise covered Impact Wrestling against all odds. That's Moose and Omega. So much stuff going on. I interviewed Kyle O'Reilly and Jody Threat. YouTube.com/Fightful has all of that. FightfulPods.com has all of that. Denise, I am so glad that your house did not burn down.
Oh my God, Sean. BTW, how are you so quick at coming in? Like, I need to hire you to be like you need to be like a firefighter or something. Switch career fields. You're really, I you know how many houses you would save by then?
I like to make sure that you and Jeremy aren't ruining the website that I've worked so hard to build. So
wait, hold on. Hold the phone. You were making sure that Jeremy and I didn't ruin the website that you've taken forever to build. Yet, how many post shows don't I have by myself? Jeremy has his own show. Jeremy helps write the news, and you haven't
hold on.
Just yet.
If you've ever watched Jeremy's shows, you'll know why I have concerns.
Okay, then, so why me? What is your reasoning? I need to know now.
We'll see. We'll see. Guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video. Donate a super chat. That will get your question or statement read on the air. Even questions or statements like Evan Wright saying, Denise Rollins gonna burn it down tonight. What's Spanish for smoke?
Humo.
Humo. Okay, there we go. Denise, the smoke Salcedo. There we go. Wow. Here we go, guys. WWE Monday Night Raw. But hey, you know what? Denise.
W, Sean, you're welcome because I saw those views on that clip. Okay, so you know what? You were afraid that I and Jeremy were going to ruin your website. You're welcome. You're welcome for getting you those clicks.
It did well. It's in the thousands of views over at YouTube.com/FightfulScraps.
You're welcome.
I haven't promoted this much lately, but YouTube.com/FightfulScraps. That's where we post a lot of our clips from shows, from interviews, a lot of stuff like that. Make sure you check it out. Last night,
offended. I don't even want to continue on with this show. That is how offended I am.
Ryan B. Jam says, Denise, just ask SRS how he's able to come in so quick. Hashtag Blue Chew. Well, I mean, that's how it is. And Evan Wright asked if that clip did numbers. It did do numbers. But you know what? Hopefully our super chats do numbers, because of all the Raws I've watched this year, this was probably one of the least bad, I guess. I wouldn't call it good, but it was one of the least bad, Denise.
It wasn't a bad, okay. Well, I was going to say it wasn't a bad show. Okay. I think given all the other Raws, I would say that this one would be on the spectrum of what I would consider on the good side of Raw. Not the great side, but the good side.
Grading on a curve. It was pretty solid. JL says, Denise, did you try to put that Hot Pocket in your WWE toaster?
I don't even have a WWE toaster, you know?
I almost didn't. It almost burned my house down last week.
I saw that, but I was like, I saw the video that you posted where it was like flickering, but I didn't know what was happening.
Yeah, I was using it, and my paleo bagel got stuck down in there. It was almost really, really bad.
So if that toaster burns your house down, can I take credit for that?
Yeah, I mean, if you want to pay the insurance and all that. Oh, well. We have Ken Shiro donating a super chat. Says WWE wants to be Marvel. They said, "Remember when the Guardians of the Galaxy showed up in Avengers with new names and roles?" Oh wait, well, we'll talk about that. That was a very hot topic, without a doubt. Omar Diaz says it's my birthday today, and Denise new gimmick, burn it down, man. You tried to make it so. Here's the way the super chats work: you get a certain number of characters based on how much money you put in. He really. Look at this. He got rid of all this.
That's super chatting on a budget. And you know what? I love it. I am here for it.
Do you remember those, like in the 90s, they had those collect call stuff? Like
when Andrew collect. I was born in the 90s. So move on. Ask somebody else.
Okay. So maybe you'll remember it. But right, you would call collect and they would be like, say the name of the person who's calling. And you'd be like, Sean. And you, Denise, you would pick up the phone and they'd be like, this is a collect call from Sean. And you'd be able to be like, no, I don't accept the charges for this call. Well, on the commercial, somebody called their friend collect and they said, my name is Bob. We had a baby. It's a boy. And that's what this reminds me of.
Yeah, Sean.
It's my birthday today. And Denise, new gimmick, burn it down.
Happy birthday, Omar.
This needs to be your new Twitter handle.
My Twiddle? I don't have Twitter. A Twiddle.
Yeah, you barely have a Twitter either. Nobody follows you. Jamie Miles says, I know it's semantics, but can we start calling Raw boring and repetitive instead of the worst? Attitude, ruthless eras with racism, sexism, or worse. Buddy, I'm sorry. There was way better stuff within the context of those shows that made sense. And you can look at it with like 2020 vision, but there was just, in addition to that dog shit that was on there, but there you go. Hannah says, I remember this and I'm younger than Denise. Had a baby, it's a boy.
Had a baby, it's a boy?
Yeah. That's Bobby had a baby, it's a boy.
Oh, okay. Sorry. I didn't get it.
Planet Dan says, with the news about Reigns and Omega being turned into their company's biggest baby faces, how do you see each of their redemption stories playing out? I don't see either one of these playing out, Denise. I don't know where their stories came from. I hadn't read them, but I think Kenny Omega loses the title to Hangman Page after Omega goes on this run of like, who's going to possibly beat him. And I think Reigns maybe changes a little bit, but I think the character that he's rocking with right now is the best for him.
Well, at least Omega has somebody that you can at least say, you know what? I can definitely see Hangman Page being the new champion. I don't think we have anybody yet in mind for Roman Reigns just yet.
Matt, who has a great profile picture, says, is Denise going to burn it down tonight? Yay, no more Lily. Are you going to burn it down tonight, Denise?
You're welcome, Sean. By the way, all these super chats have been about me and my house and my burning it down. Okay, so you know what? You're welcome, Sean, even though you offended me at the top of the stream by saying you didn't trust me and Jeremy.
Yeah, it's a shame that they're...
I am forever going to be... it's going to take a while for me to let that one go.
It's just a shame there are no super chats about me burning my house down because I don't burn my house down.
You nearly did with that toaster. You just...
Not on the air. Not on the air, I don't. Ryan B. Jam says, don't care about Raw, but all of MLB is calling Vladdy as daddy. Well, that's interesting. Ryan B. Jam says, Denise is a hot potato and she will burn it down. Ryan Martins says, hey, Sean, do you have anything else on AOP? I've seen Paul Ellering tag WWE and NXT a lot on Twitter posts and replies. Yeah, so here's the deal. Last year, either AOP or their representatives reached out to New Japan. I don't know who. I just know that somebody did. And New Japan was not bringing in new guys. There were AEW wrestlers that pushed to bring AOP in, and AEW at the time was like, eh, I don't think that that's going to work right now, so they didn't come in. They were free agents at the worst time for international wrestlers to be free agents. You have to deal with visas and all that garbage. But a company reached out to AOP, I want to say 3 months ago, maybe February, March, and either AOP or their representative said they're both retired. They're working regular jobs now. Apparently, they've had a change of heart because after the report that we put out, they're like, well, we're not done. Also, there was a writer that reached out in April to Rezar and said, hey, do you want to do an interview with me? And Rezar replied, I'm not a wrestler. So apparently, they've had a change of heart. Denise, they are 26 and 28 years old. I think it's a good thing that they've had a change of heart.
It's so crazy to even hear like their ages and like see like how young they are. Like I hope that they did have a change of heart because I do think that there is a space in the wrestling world for a team like AOP. That's for sure.
Listen, I'm just out here bringing AOP out of retirement and breaking up the Nightmare Collective. No big deal. I'm just causing all the most important things in wrestling to happen via my reports and my hair. That's the case.
How is your head not bigger than mine at this point? Honestly,
you got a big ass head. Happy birthday, Omar. Thanks for the super chat advice. You all suck.
You're going to have to be really reading really fast now.
Okay, I'm going to put in a rule. I'm not reading any more like this. Not a one.
Come on, Sean. If the
I ain't doing it.
The money, if they pay the money, they can write it the way that they want.
You're not doing it.
You are a super chat, not.
Denise got muted. Sexy Pheasant says, hi, Messi. Denise numero uno. People are just like, again,
let
not.
People do what they want.
Let's mute Denise again. Kate Hensler says it feels like Vince has never watched TV wrestling and was forced to write an episode in 20 minutes, but he kind of invented it. Denise, we saw some new stuff, but even like the good stuff we saw, like we have seen Charlotte or we've seen Rhea and Asuka a bunch of times. We've seen Charlotte and Nikki Cross already. Did this give you any hope that maybe things are turning around a little bit?
Turning around for what exactly?
I don't know.
What are we talking about
here? When crowds come back, as they're saying.
Look, there's times where I get into this like headspace where I'm thinking, well, maybe they're doing all of these repeat matches because, they're saving their stuff for when the crowds come back. But then I try to remember a couple of the shows that we were doing post-pandemic era. And Sean, correct me if I'm wrong here, but weren't there several episodes where we were sitting here essentially talking about the fact that creative was just going down this, garbage shoe because it was not good. And we had people that we didn't even know of, like, this whole pandemic thing. So I'm thinking to myself, like, don't be dumb and realize that this was a complaint that you had even before the pandemic era. Now, I did notice today that, like, within maybe the first 20 minutes of the show, they definitely did have a lot of women's matches announced, even opened with a women's match. So I did notice that. The intro to Raw definitely felt a little bit different, and I've kind of gotten to realize that whatever like happens in the first hour of Raw is, or like the first like half hour of Raw, is really what sets the tone for the entire show. Like if the first half hour of Raw is like interesting, like whatever mood it sets, I notice that that is a pattern that it sticks with it for the full 3 hours.
Well, we are going to get to these non-Raw super chats before Raw. John Kelly says you are literally hot. Rob Wilkins says Lee Marshall used to do 800 collect promos on Nitro. Yeah, D'Lo Brown and Steve Austin were in one of those commercials like that. So Cyclops said that commercial showed me how to get free phone calls. They weren't free for who you were calling, buddy. It was like $1.99 a minute. It was something ridiculous, or maybe it was 10 cents a minute. I can't remember, but it was ridiculous. Omar asked if you like Cool Ranch Doritos.
I do, actually. I like nacho cheese Doritos way more, but I do like Cool Ranch.
Evan Wright says, thoughts on OC and Butlander, that's Statlander, against Lee Moriarty and Trish Adora. I love that match. I think it's a great match to book. I'm very excited to see how that goes. I think if they have a good showing, it could go a long way for Lee and Trish. Drew Lytle says, remember when Carrot Top and Stephanie did one of those commercials for a collect call number? Yes. I didn't know that was Stephanie, though. Wow. Ryan Martin says, do you see Regal stepping down tomorrow and Joe taking his place?
I think it's one of those things where you hear so much of this and everybody's talking about it, and there are so many reasonings to believe that this may be happening. You can't help but to kind of believe that it's a very huge possibility. So I think right now I'm going to say yes. I do feel like this could happen. But Sean, you're smiling, and I can tell you're hiding something right now from me and from the viewers. You know something. You know something.
I do know something.
I can tell. Yeah, exactly. And I feel like you're making fun of my answer because you're like,
no. No.
He doesn't know anything.
There's just stuff I can't say. Juan says Denise is
twice. If you know.
Juan Gabriel said Denise covers Alicia Keys' "Girl on Fire" confirmed. Cyclops says they were free when the person declined the call. Oh man. Well, I wouldn't want that. I mean, wait, you wouldn't be able to connect the call then. I'm confused. Asian Joe says the profits are up and Denise wants the smoke. My God, let's get into WWE Raw. Let's talk about it.
Yeah, sorry, Sean. Denise Salcedo's presence is bringing in all the super chats.
I'm good. I'm glad. Keep sending those super chats in, please.
Jimmy Van.
Gonna mute Denise again. Denise's big ass head. It's got to be Hornswoggle, says Elijah. Tyrone Kidd says nacho cheese, Cool Ranch. Give me some little pudding. What? What? What's that mean, Denise?
I don't want to talk about it.
Everybody, what's it mean? Why are you little pudding?
Pudding thing. I don't get it, man. I don't get it. All right. Point is, I can't sing. Everybody knows it. What can you do? There are certain people that cannot do things in this world.
We're about to get paid off of singing that Grease song. That's all I know.
Nobody told me that whole 50 subscribers thing. Had I known, I would have 50 people to subscribe to the channel.
Because it's bullshit. I'm not going to sit there and... No, it doesn't have anything to do with subscribers. We're going to get paid off this, Denise.
We are? Well, then yes, we'll see tomorrow. Nobody told me this either.
Well, I'm going to an amusement park tomorrow. We need to talk about Raw. Jeez.
What amusement park are you going to tomorrow?
Kings Island.
You riding roller coasters, Sean, or are you like scaredy cat?
I'm riding roller coasters.
Oh, okay. I don't know. You have like this dad vibe where like I feel like you just go and eat nachos and chill on the side while everybody goes and hangs out at the roller coaster.
Denise, you really do not know me at all, do you? My God. Okay, so Nikki Cross defeated Charlotte Flair via countout. I do not know what WWE's obsession is with turning Rhea Ripley into the troll face meme, but that's what they're doing. You know what the troll face meme is?
No, what is that?
You've never seen the troll face meme.
I'm sure I have. I just didn't know that's what
you have. But I'll just pull it up right here. Why not? Why not? That's what I like to do. They are turning Rhea Ripley into this.
Oh, yeah, I've seen that. I just didn't know that's what it was called.
She's just sitting there and going the whole time.
I didn't get that from that.
That's all she does. This. That's outside so and giggles. Me, I'm not saying that she looks like it. I'm just saying that's what they're doing with her. She is out there trolling Charlotte Flair. That's it. And she's just sitting there.
But what does she even have? She doesn't even have any credibility to be trolling at this point. They've given her zero credibility to even be a troll.
But yeah, because she I don't understand it. I don't understand. Like, this is not what got Rhea Ripley over. Headbutting somebody in the nose like we saw later, that's what got Rhea Ripley over. And in this match, Charlotte gets easily distracted and loses via countout. So, Denise, we have a champion who's out there just trolling. The challenger has lost a tag team match, has lost a 2-minute challenge, and now a one-on-one match via countout. So they're like, hey, here's this big loser you're going to watch on Sunday compete for the world title. Enjoy.
I think right from the start when they were doing this whole beat the 2-minute cloth thing, whatever it's called, I already knew that this is what they were basing this whole feud on. This whole story between Charlotte and Rhea is that they're essentially both two losers that can't beat Nikki Cross. That doesn't make sense when you think about this. Like, I can't see, this is the thing, that it's not believable in the sense that Charlotte, somebody like, let's just use Charlotte for example. Charlotte, who's literally gone to battle with every single top female wrestler that you can think of, has, you know, main evented WrestleMania. You can, you know, really bring a big list of her accolades and everything that she has done in WWE. Do you really, really think that someone like her is going to lose in the manners in which she has been losing the past couple of weeks? It's not believable. It's like, what? Did Charlotte just suddenly forget everything she knows about wrestling? Did she suddenly forget the rules? Was she so heated by this that it just made her forget everything? It's not believable. And that is very unfortunate because, like I said at the top of this, none of these women deserve this storyline built. And this is not doing anything for Rhea Ripley, who seriously had the opportunity to become one of the hottest champions. And unfortunately, it has not been turning out that way because of stories like this. And Charlotte is a great competitor. They could have, they had that story there that they could have told with Rhea and Charlotte for the longest time heading into Hell in a Cell. And instead, this has essentially become this like joke story.
Couldn't say it better. We have a super chat from the Nerd Guru that says, I hate it here. I can't be arsed to care about Rhea versus Flair. Bobby got pinned. Eva is still bad. Brain cells died. I cared about Charlotte and Rhea at the end of what they did tonight. So let's go ahead and talk about that. keep in mind, Nikki Cross is like, woo, I know I'm a great former tag champion, but I just wanted to be a count out. And she's like punching air and she's like, hell yeah. So we have Charlotte versus Asuka for the, or Rhea versus Asuka for the fourth time since WrestleMania. They've had 7 matches total, but 4 singles matches. Fortunately, Denise, their chemistry has come a long way. Because I remember after those first 2 matches, we were saying, man, this sucks. Stop putting them in the ring together. This was good. Like, this is the type of Rhea-Asuka match they should have had at WrestleMania. Like, Asuka was throwing stuff at Rhea, and Rhea just hauls off and headbutts her and drops Asuka. That was rad. That's what I want to see. I thought that Ripley's offense tonight, she did like the cravat knees, which I loved, and she pinned Asuka clean with the Riptide. I'm cool with that. I don't think Asuka is hurt at all by losing to the world champion clean as a sheet in the middle of the ring. Sometimes you win, sometimes you lose, and when two really good wrestlers face each other, one's going to win and one's going to lose. I think that to me, that protects somebody way more than doing what we saw with Alexa and Nia later in the night, where I'm like, okay, well, now I just shouldn't care. First off, before we get into the post-match, what did you think of the actual match?
Well, first of all, I do have to agree, and I hope, I'm glad that we're here all thinking the exact same thing, because can you imagine how bad, you mean, you just said they've had 4 singles matches now. Can you imagine how bad it would have been on here if we would have been like, dude, this match was horrible again?
Yeah.
I felt bad saying that for their WrestleMania match, for their rematch after the WrestleMania match, and then the match after that. By then, I was thinking to myself, like, what can you do? Like, how is it that they don't have this chemistry? So now at this point, they're starting to finally be on the same page, where this match was perfectly fine, definitely better than all of their past matches. And honestly, I'm just glad that I'm on here saying that. Again, I thought this match was good, and Rhea Ripley definitely needed this. Definitely, this was probably the best thing that they've had her do since, God, maybe even since becoming the champion.
And Sheamus is on Raw Talk, says, got to disagree. Asuka now 0-4 against Rhea. Yeah, well, those first 2 matches sucked. That hurt it a lot more than her losing to Rhea. Sometimes somebody just has your number. Randy Orton's like 0-1,000,000 against Kofi Kingston. He's all right. He's completely fine. Brandon Charles Powell says, Charlotte and Rhea should have both been winning leading up to the pay-per-view. Not sure what WWE is thinking. WWE has this weird sense that causing somebody to lose makes us want to see the other person more. And it's just not that. I want to see 2 well-booked people against each other, Denise.
I want to be like, I want to sit here and have a solid argument with you as to why you believe Charlotte's going to win and why I believe Rhea's going to win, or vice versa. And
yeah,
be like, well, I'm so sold on my opinion because of this, where we can actually have a
real. And then I want to mute you like that and be like, no, this is why Rhea's going to win. And I'll get mad at you. That's what
exactly.
I want.
Exactly. That's all there. Like, that should be. I don't think. When's the last time we did that? When's the last time when we were sitting here saying, oh, I firmly believe this person's going to win, and you were like, no, it's definitely going to be this person because this, this, and that. No, I don't remember the last time that happened.
We still have some super chats here. Tyrone Kidd says, use the story for someone new and not Nikki Cross. Nikki Cross has never had like a major top-level push, though, and she's capable of it. She is a very likable personality, I think. Omar Diaz says, a new women's champion, Charlotte. Probably according to Vince. Eh, yeah. Richie Goodacre says Nikki Cross's theme is terrible and doesn't fit. That theme is so bad, Denise. So bad. I would have thought like that it was Mickie James' theme. And if it were on Mickie James, maybe it would have fit a little bit better. But with Nikki Cross, woof, man, this is bad. But I'll tell you what I liked. Charlotte coming in. By the way, that bodysuit ruled. That was an excellent bodysuit. It looked like Denise's house last night.
Why is it that both you and I thought that Charlotte's bodysuit looked really great? Because I was thinking that. I didn't put it out there, but I was definitely thinking it. Charlotte did look great. She looked phenomenal.
It will. By the way, somebody saying, nobody answered my super chat, buddy. What we do is when we get to the segment, then we address it. We don't jump back and forth as best we can, but they beat the crap out of each other. Charlotte got busted up, and Charlotte knew she got busted up and made sure that the camera found that she got busted up and went back for more. this made me want to see them, Denise. This is, I always say Peter Griffin versus the chicken works. For those of you who have never watched Family Guy, Peter Griffin and this chicken just fight each other every time they see each other. No matter what happens, they just fight each other. I want to see that. I want to see them fighting when they get into the parking lot, when they're backstage, when they're at catering, when they come out for a contract signing. I don't need to see anything else. I need to see officials constantly pulling them apart from each other. I want to see a match going on. Maybe we're watching Cedric and Shelton for the 74th time or Elias and Riker for the fifth time. And instead, what happens is Charlotte and Rhea come brawling down through the ring and Elias and Riker are like, what the hell? And they got to pull them apart. Like, I want to see something like that. And this was the closest we got to anything like that for these two. This was the most interesting thing they've done, I thought.
This was one of the highlights of Raw, period, honestly. And the one thing that I put out there tonight was really when Hell in a Cell comes and they do this big, you know, promo package promoting the match. Forget everything that happened with Nikki Cross. I don't care if this package is 3 seconds, 10 seconds long. Just show this brawl and do not show anything else, because this really is the only thing at this point, aside from the fact that I love Charlotte Flair and that I love Rhea Ripley. Aside from that, this was the only thing that made me want to see this match. None of the other stuff that happened with Nikki Cross, and this has nothing to do with Nikki Cross, it's just really the story, made me want to see this match. So I do really hope that they just kind of forget about all of the other stuff, even though I know they're not. But really, the brawl, Charlotte Flair bleeding every time I thought that they officially had, you know, separated them. Charlotte Flair came back. She threw a couple of elbows. I mean, I thought it was great.
William Davis says this match should have been Hell in a Cell. Let them get brutal and Rhea get back to her roots. And if they had done that story the way I had just mentioned it, then it would have given a reason. They'd be like, this is what we have to contain this. Ryan P. Jam says, Sean talking about Family Guy makes me wonder who at Fightful is the Meg. Joe would probably refer to himself as Meg, I think. Asian Joe says, the cringiness of Nikki's babyface booking is second only to SRS's babyface character on Quizzlemania. That was a fun one, though. I like that one.
No, I hate babyface Sean Rossap.
I'm a great baby face. I'm just happy to be here, Denise.
Oh, no, stop. Don't even go there tonight.
Sheamus is on Raw Talk, says, can AEW air Rampage at 7 p.m. instead of 10 p.m.? I think they should air it at 7 p.m. on Fridays instead of 10 p.m. on Fridays, Denise. Whenever they got that show, I think airing it after 2 hours of wrestling is a bad idea. Any thoughts on that?
Oh, man, I don't know, because either way, it's going to stress me out.
Yeah. Oh, boy. So backstage, we see Tamina and Natalya working out in the ring. Mandy and Dana are upset that this sound is overcoming their photo shoot or something. And they complain. And Tamina, who took 10 years to win her first title, says, if you all worked half as much on your skill set as you do your looks, you would be champions. And I'm like, Tamina, it took you a decade to win that title. And then they fought. And I was like, all right, this isn't bad. This isn't bad. But it was just that line. I was like, oh, come on.
So here's my question. Who are the baby faces in this? Based on this segment alone, because to me, it's not Dana or Mandy.
I don't see a baby face in like half these stories, Denise. Alexa and Nia, Jackson Riker and Elias. I know people will go, well, Jackson Riker is obviously the baby face. That's funny because I haven't given a shit about him one time. Whoo boy.
Because that was, yeah, exactly. So yeah, there you go.
Let's move on from this. Speaking of, let's talk about Alexa Bliss. She puts Lily in timeout. Good. Keep her there. But this match, I didn't think was very good at all. Nia looks like she's barely like, here's the options. Nia hits you or she doesn't hit you. You know what I mean? And those got two very different endings to them. I didn't think this match was good, and I loathed the finish.
Yeah. Go ahead. So here's the thing, too. There was a moment where Alexa Bliss did like this short DDT on Nia Jax, and it was probably one of the worst things I had ever seen. Just like everything that happened there. This match was weird. Even before the actual finish itself, it was weird. Like, I don't know if I was watching everything in slow motion or just everything that was happening in the ring just wasn't clicking. It didn't feel like there was an actual... It didn't feel like an actual match. I don't even know if that makes any sense or that's like the best way to describe this. It was not good. And then I'm thinking here, Alexa Bliss, they've been, you know, putting, yeah, we may not all be fans of this Alexa Bliss character. Okay, fine. But the point is that they still have been putting a lot of effort into Alexa Bliss and her character and really doing a lot and making her, you know, a big focus. So at the end of the day, I'm thinking to myself, like, why did they not have Alexa Bliss just win this match? It doesn't make sense given everything that's done with her character. You would think that they would actually want her to win this match. I mean, the woman has all of these superpowers that apparently now I had somebody on Twitter list them down, and it was like a bullet, 10 bullet points of superpowers that this woman has. And we haven't even gotten to the post-match stuff on this.
So Alexa has hit her finish. It's very clear she's going to win, but they have Reginald run in, and I'm thinking, who does that protect? Alexa Bliss has had no matches since she faced Randy Orton like 3 months ago. She's had no matches against women since Nikki Cross at the beginning of February. She's had like 2 or 3 matches all year long, and nothing shows me, hey, don't pay attention to what's going on with this person more than them not being willing to give her a clean win. What does it hurt Nia Jax? Are we preparing for some big giant Nia Jax push that I'm not aware of? Like, Nia somehow looks better with all of us knowing that she was going to lose, but getting saved by Reginald? Like, that helps somehow? Meanwhile, Alexa Bliss has a match this Sunday at the pay-per-view. Shouldn't she maybe, I don't know, win? Wouldn't that help if she won something? Because right now, we're looking at Alexa Bliss, who barely wrestles, and then she gets in there, and she can't even get the win against Shayna Baszler, who, I don't know if you all know her history of late, lost to Reginald, lost to Natalya and Tamina, and then lost to Natalya and Tamina. She has not been winning matches. Shayna Baszler has like one win in the last, I think, 2 months, maybe, in her last 8-9 matches. So we're supposed to be, like, super excited for this. No, not working on me. Not working on me. And then afterwards, Reginald goes face-to-face with Alexa, and Nerd Guru says, why is he still on TV? What's the reason? I'm working on it, buddy. FightfulSelect.com. I'm about to plug it here in a minute, but Alexa controls Reginald, and you know what? To me, this is some of the least offensive stuff that they did, that they've done. Like, to me, it's like, you know what? If this were Papa Shango, I'd be like, whatever. All right, cool. Well, it's a lot better than the doll, but it's still bad.
Sean, if she can hypnotize people, and I think, didn't she, wasn't even like, what is it, telekinesis, where she could move stuff at one point?
Yeah.
In that case, shouldn't she be winning like every single match? I mean, with all of that, why isn't she using it? And you can't even tell me, well, that's dumb, Denise. Well, they're incorporating it into the story. So there it is. It's there for me to use and wonder.
You're right. Shout out to the person on Twitter who made this.
Oh, man.
That's what they do. They have her out there smiling and giggling. She is a badass woman. And they got her out there. Now, sometimes you got a little sense of humor and stuff, but I remember when she got super over, and that was not it. Well, Steven Jenkins says, so we're supposed to be cheering for Jackson Ryker now? Nah, I'm good. Well, Denise, I'm good not talking about this entire segment because it's exactly the same thing that happened last week. Same thing.
I feel like I at least just need to get a little upset about it, Sean, because I was already mad when I saw that we were having this match again. I got up and I was like, I'm going to go get a cookie. I got a cookie. I came back and I stood in front of the TV eating my cookie. I was paying attention, thinking maybe something great is going to happen. Maybe I'm going to be surprised. Something's going to happen.
What the kind of cookie?
Chocolate chip. The exact same thing happened, Sean. The exact same thing. Why? Why is this happening to Elias? Why? I used to like Elias. I actually thought his, walk with Elias, perform his songs, all of this, they had something there. What did Elias do to deserve this? Okay, I'm sorry, but this is terrible. You're just essentially walking out. Why? Why? So, I need answers.
So Elias was a victim of good crowd reaction. Remember those crowd reactions? Because he got cheered and they're like, well, we better turn him babyface. Then they just made him not entertaining for a long time. We're going to see this again. We'll probably see it again on Sunday. I just don't care about it. I don't care about it whatsoever. But what I do care about are thumbs up and super chats. Donate a super chat. Get your question or statement read on the air. Brandon Charles Powell says, hilarious that belt got to Tamina's head. It really did. She's like big time in people now, Denise.
Aw, man. You know what? She waited this long. Might as well have some fun with it.
Oh, we have The Miz and Morrison coming out to the ring. I love the spot in the intro where they do the slow-mo and Miz is yelling at Morrison because he forgot him on the ramp. I thought that was very funny. But then we get a very short match with Jeff Hardy, and I'm just like, okay, cool. John Morrison gets a win. It's what happened after this that didn't make a lot of sense to me. Cedric, who lost to Jeff Hardy, comes out and he's like, you know what? You're washed up. And it's like, man, you lost to him. And Jeff says, well, you know what? If you beat me now, I'll retire. And I'm like, cool. A match with stakes. But you know what would have made sense?
What?
If Cedric beat Jeff last week, and then Jeff was booked in a match against Morrison this week. Because then Cedric could be like, I beat you. Why the hell are you booked for the show and I'm not? You're washed up. And then Jeff Hardy could say, okay, you think I'm washed up? Give me another crack at it. I want a shot to prove to you that that was a fluke and I'm not washed up. It would make so much sense, Denise. But instead what we have is Morrison, who lost a feud to Damian Priest with The Miz. Damian Priest ain't on TV right now. He's hanging out backstage at NXT every week instead. And then you go to Cedric, who lost, to challenge another loser to a match.
Yeah, it doesn't make sense. It would have made more sense with the way that you explained it, for sure. I think that Jeff Hardy Morrison, God, just maybe even giving it maybe like, I don't know, an extra couple of minutes would have been really entertaining, because they kind of had, like, it was very short, but it was kind of fun for what it was. And then with the Cedric thing, I kind of felt like it just kind of came out of nowhere, where he was kind of saying, obviously the whole thing about him idolizing him and all of that. Oh, I love that, because that's true. But everything else was just kind of like, all right, cool. This is the direction that we're heading into this with it. All right, fine. When he challenged him when Jeff Hardy basically said, like, hey, if I lose to you, I'm retired. Part of me was like, okay, I love this because they're at least giving us some sort of reasoning. And I don't love this because obviously it's predictable at the same time. We know a Jeff Hardy ain't retiring on a basic Monday Night Raw on June 14th. It ain't happening, okay? But either way, like, I couldn't get into it. I didn't like Cedric coming out even during the match with Morrison. I wasn't really that big of a fan of it there. The one thing I did like, and I also did like the commentary, made a note of this right away, was when Cedric used the Swanton Bomb to, like, they, pointed
love
out
that
he's trying to retire him, like, with Jeff Hardy's iconic move. And then Jeff Hardy essentially ended up getting the win, the same way. So I actually did like that. So I guess for what it was, packed up in this nice few minutes, I guess they did a lot with what they could there.
I enjoyed the match. I enjoyed the stipulation. It just didn't make any sense. That it just was like, to me, they could have made a lot more sense of it and added some stakes there. And I would love for Cedric to, like, think that he's the Legend Killer, but not be able to pull it off. I wouldn't mind Shelton teaming up with Jeff Hardy. I mean, why not do that? I mean, they've got a lot of things in common. I think that would work. Cyclops says Cedric has the swagger of George McFly. Yikes. Please get in your super chat so we can read more statements like that. Oh boy. I thought, but you know, the stipulation, I'm good with that. Like that's a little something to add. And for those few minutes, I didn't think that Jeff Hardy was going to lose, but I was like, you know what? At least they added a little bit of something there.
Yeah. Yeah. It helped spice things up just a bit.
Do you ever feel unsatisfied by Raw, Denise?
Do I ever?
Do you ever feel like you need a little bit more?
Yes.
Do you ever feel like you're not fulfilled?
With Raw?
Yeah. Yes. Well, fortunately, our friends at magicspoon.com/Fightful will fill you up. 0 grams of sugar, 13, 14 grams of protein, only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving, only 140 calories a serving. It is keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, low-carb, and GMO-free. I've gotten in much better shape over the last couple months, and Magic Spoon's been a big part of that. I have a bowl every single morning, and I love it. And right now, you can build your own box. Cocoa Fruity, Frosted Peanut Butter, Cinnamon, and Blueberry. Make your own. You can also get that chocolate and peanut butter, mix it together, make peanut butter cup. It is my favorite. If you're listening in Canada, Magic Spoon now ships there as well. You can go to magicspoon.com/Fightful. Grab the new limited edition flavors. Actually, no, those are out now. I forgot. They sold like hotcakes. They were so popular. My apologies, but you can get your custom box, as I mentioned, and use your promo code FIGHTFUL at checkout to save $5 on your order. This offer is now good anywhere in the U.S. and Canada, but only when you use our code at checkout. And get this, if you want to try it, if you sit there and you think about it and you're like, maybe it's worth it, maybe it's not worth it, 100% happiness guarantee. If you don't like it for any reason, they refund your money, no questions asked. It is, you have nothing to lose. Hey, look at this. So much protein per carb. That's right. And the thing I like most about this is one bowl fills me up. Whenever I'm eating other cereals that aren't Magic Spoon, I eat like half the box. I just eat like half the box. That's the way that stuff works. Not Magic Spoon. One serve does the trick. Magicspoon.com/Fightful. Use the code Fightful. Ryan Martin says, does this mean Cedric's feud with Shelton is over? I think for now, until they're like, oh, hey, he was probably bring him back briefly and he'll face Cedric again. Denise?
John, is my internet going out or is it yours? It's always
probably,
isn't it?
Probably yours. Ricardo says, some love for you guys. Thanks for the birthday shout out. Well, thank you for being here. I appreciate it. Now let's talk about the thing that people want to talk about. Garmin Rose says, witness a crime, needing to stay safe, join a new brand as a part of the WWE witness protection and gain a new identity. Why they do Piper dirty like that? That was a hot topic, Denise.
Oh, and we all knew it was going to be, right?
Oh boy. I'll plug Fightful Select after this because we had a lot of news on this. And we actually know what the pitched name for her is. I don't know if it'll be used, but Richie Goodacre says NXT UK was buried. Her name is Piper Niven. Aaron Entertainment says, does anybody at Raw watch NXT UK? AK Germany 96 says, the commentator amnesia aside about Piper Niven is proof that nobody watches NXT UK. Dang. Robbie Smith says, I feel NXT UK got buried tonight after no one on commentary knew who Piper Niven was. They clearly don't watch their own product. Very sad. So let's talk about it.
Where Eva Marie. Start?
Oh, boy. Well, I know. Did you see the social media today when it was announced? Eva Marie and Naomi. Oh, I knew it was going to be a meltdown. Now, I'll tell you what I don't like. Those people that were going... Oh, well, by the way, people say it was my Wi-Fi going bad. Hey, I'm sorry.
You see what I mean? And here I am.
Anyway, people melted down, and I don't like it when people go,
can't wait for all those smart tears. The IWC is going to have a meltdown.
Buddy, if you are tweeting that, you are a part of the IWC, that fabled thing. Everybody's got the internet, by the way. This ain't new. Implying that
everybody on the IWC
feels the same as like the dumbest shit ever. Like, it is such a dumb thing. But I had heard about a month ago, I can't even remember if I told you. I know I told Jimmy, but Piper Niven was supposed to be her muscle. And the way that they worked it is that Eva Marie came out and Piper Niven's with her. They got her with the Bertha Faye hair. And she comes out and she kicks the living shit out of Naomi. And she looked great doing it. She looked great. First off, not surprised that Eva didn't wrestle. The plan for her a couple months ago was to not wrestle. So all of you that were tagging me in her tweet being like, huh, what about that dirt cheat boy? Well, what about that? Because I didn't see her wrestle tonight.
Oh, you dirt cheat boy.
I mean, it's just, I assume.
Hey, what about that dirt cheat boy?
Yeah, well, sorry, missed her wrestling tonight. Please, guys.
If you make a shirt that says dirt cheat boy, I will buy that shot. Dirt cheap boy.
I thought Piper was great. I thought she did great. And I think for what Eva Marie did, I thought she did really great too. But what'd you think about this?
Man, Sean. I feel like terrible because I didn't love any of this. All right. Where do I begin? Here we go.
I didn't like Naomi jobbing out and getting crushed. I didn't like that. You could have done that with literally anybody else. Like, bring up some NXT Performance Center donk that hasn't been on TV yet.
Okay, so I'll start off with that then, since you just mentioned that. That was one of the things where, look, I get it, because right now they're in this Thunderdome era. I get why they put Naomi in the spot. They shouldn't have put Naomi in the spot, though. She shouldn't be the one doing this. I'm sorry, but I hope that once they go on the actual road, they have, you know, your local jobber doing this job, you know, for Piper Niven or whatever they decide to call her at the end of the day. So I do hope that we don't see Naomi or anybody else like Naomi in this situation. Now, the whole thing with Eva Marie coming being announced as the one who's having the match and then coming out and having her not be in the match, I'm sorry, but the way that they went about it was confusing. And I get it. That was the point of it all, because the commentary team was like, what's going on? It was supposed to be Eva Marie. What's happening here? I'm sorry, but they should have done something. Like, I don't know. She should have said something. Like, I don't know anything. There should have been some sort of segue. It was just kind of like, oh, it's Eva Marie. Here she is. Here she's coming out. And then all of a sudden, well, no, this, I don't even, did they even refer to Piper as anything? They didn't call her anything, right?
No, they didn't.
So it's like all of a sudden, just this person is coming out and doing this match. It made no sense at all. I mean, yeah, Piper looked great in this. That was perfectly fine, but it was really dumb. And then even afterwards, I'm sorry, but if your one line is going to be, well, whatever Eva Marie said about her being the winner, please at least do it with some pizzazz in there. I would have been like more like grand about it. Like, well, I'm the winner or something like that. But it felt very, very flat. I was like, okay, if that's the one thing you're gonna do, at least, you know, have it be something really special or get over really well. I mean, they both looked absolutely phenomenal, but I don't know how to feel about this pairing, because I feel like it's gonna go one or two directions, and I really hope that it doesn't go in the direction that a lot of people think it's gonna go into, because it could be really, really bad.
Yes. Okay. So I had heard about this pairing a few months ago. Or a couple months ago, I think. And I told Jimmy about it. I'm sure he'll talk about it on the Listen You Boy this week. But when I heard it, I was like, oh no. Because we know how Vince thinks and books this stuff. And I don't want him booking Piper Niven as like that. I don't want That is, and
I'm afraid to say it because it's in a, like, it would be horrible.
It's fucking inappropriate. Yeah.
I don't want to say it. And like, it's putting, like, if you, it's a bad position for like you coming from a male perspective, whatever your male perspective is, it's going to sound bad. If I come in here with a female perspective, it's going to come out bad too.
Yeah.
And that's where the storyline has essentially put you in the spot. Now, I have been trashing this, but I'm going to give you a pro. And here's my pro on this. And I don't know. The best way that I can say it is that the pro in this situation is that, yeah, this whole thing is all about Eva Marie, but I am happy that at least Piper is getting this opportunity on the main roster, because realistically speaking, we don't necessarily know 100% that she would actually be, that she would have actually been given this spot. And while this may have a shelf life and this may not last very long, this is essentially her opportunity to essentially go with what they've been given her and maybe show the people, you know, making decisions, hey, you know what? You got something with me. So this is an opportunity for her to, you know, really showcase herself. So I do, this is the pro there. And I hope that it gets better as the weeks go on. And I do get that they're doing kind of like the fake influencer type of storyline. That's what I'm getting from like night one with Eva Marie, that, you know, she's claiming that she's, you know, Miss Hot Thing, but now she's using Piper essentially to get her win. So I like that aspect of it. And I guess if they're going to go any direction with it, they might as well go with it that direction. But even then, that has bad implications because, well, you know, there you go.
Yes. Now we've got a ton of super chats about this. Nerd Guru says, waiting for the Trinity Fatu is all elite graphic. I'm not expecting that, my friends. Kate Hensler says, Reginald is booked better than Naomi. Why? I don't have an answer for that. Naomi, they take her for granted. They take her for granted so often. And she's got a very loyal fan base, and it's just frustrating. Hebkin says, Naomi and Piper Niven deserve so much better. Yes, I think that Piper Niven and Eva Marie and Naomi all played the roles that they were assigned as best they possibly could. Naomi made Piper look as good as she could. Piper did as good as she could, especially looking very incredulous after the match, how happy she was to be there. I thought Eva Marie playing the, ugh, thanks for doing that for me, but you're gross type of thing. I thought she did that very well, even though I think the angle is like, eh. But yeah, Ryan B. Jam says, if they were willing to shame Nia, they're more willing to shame than willing to shame Piper. Yes,
Mickey
and
James got shamed. Do we not forget what happened to Mickey, who is like gorgeous as hell?
A prime Mickey James got shamed. Like, she was, it's unreal. 30 Undertaker 13 says the fat shaming of Piper Niven has to stop. People need to realize she can wrestle and is entertaining to watch. Please stop fat shaming this lady. Yeah, I'll tell you what, it won't happen in our chat because you'll get kicked the fuck out real quick. Javier Duncan says, ref, why is she's here fighting instead of Eva? Ring the bell anyway. Isn't that the person who's supposed to wrestle? WWE logic. Yes, it's very weird. And speaking of weird, the name. I broke it on FightfulSelect.com what the pitched name was. The pitched name for Piper Niven is Dewdrop, Denise.
What does it mean, Sean?
I don't know. I posted a bunch of Dewey Cox GIFs because that was his nickname in that movie. Have you ever watched that movie?
No.
Oh, well worth it. Well worth it. It's very funny. It's a parody of the Johnny Cash bio doc. It's a super funny movie. I hope it changes because this segment changed a bunch. Like, it was supposed to be on the show, then off the show, then on the show. And I heard that name this afternoon. And then again tonight, and I was like, there's no way. But then when they didn't say it, I was like, okay, maybe they're workshopping it. Maybe they won't do it. Maybe they won't do it.
They don't, because it doesn't even make sense. I don't even know what that means. The only do I know is Mountain Dew, and that's it.
Oh, boy. Brian B. Jam says, will Magic Spoon ever get called out by John Oliver like Cheerios? Doubt it. Magic Spoon's great. Nerd Guru says, Piper is so good. See Kaylee Ray versus Storm versus Piper. But because she's on the larger side, she's going to be Eva's project. And that's disgusting and insulting. So I didn't get the idea anymore that she was going to be Eva's project. I think Eva's going to take advantage of her. like all that hard work that Eva does. Well, it's actually this woman who looks nothing like her and doesn't represent the same things that she does, doing all the real hard work for her, Denise.
Yeah, and even then that has implications, because that is the better story that they can tell, is essentially, like I said, her being a fake influencer, and essentially like that's the story that they're going with. But I mean, think of all of the teen rom-com movies that you've seen. How many times don't you see the cool girl essentially taking advantage of the nerdy girl, or the, you know, whatever girl doesn't look like a Barbie doll, that sort of thing. So even then, that has implications within that.
Yep, I agree. Do you remember Not Another Teen?
Sean, you're frozen, and it's not me.
Am I good now?
Yeah, you're back now.
Okay, good. Never mind. Seamus is in Raw Talk says, you're a dirt cheap man, not a
dirt cheap boy.
Cyclops says,
dirt cheap boy.
We'll be beggar. Frozen. You are frozen with your mouth open right now.
Am I good now?
Yeah, I'm sorry. Okay. You just went out a little bit.
It's all right. I'll get it fixed. Cyclops says, dirt cheap boy would be bigger than your tall gimmick. I like this idea. They should have jobbed out Aaliyah for Piper. Well, they were there scouting at the PC, so there's no telling who they'll use for what. Sean Blanford says, SummerSlam prediction, when Piper and Eva win the women's tag titles, with Piper doing everything and Eva getting a pin. I can see that happening, Denise.
Yeah, I mean, if that's the direction that they're going with, all right, cool.
I could see that, and I'll say this. She got way more buzz doing this than anything else that she could have done on this show, like by far. I don't know if that's always a good thing or a bad thing, but the buzz was there.
Well, that's the thing. They had to protect her too, in a way, because you know, the IWC was going to be ready to rip into that.
Yeah.
You know, like if it would have been bad. Like,
in we're heading down the home stretch, guys. Get in your super chats. Please leave a thumbs up. Ray Callahan Jr. says, Piper crossed the ocean to get Eva a win. Why? Well, on FightfulSelect.com tonight, we reported that Piper has actually been over here for quite a while at the Performance Center. Just today on FightfulSelect.com, I have my Backstage Report podcast. That's 10 to 20 minutes of exclusive news in a podcast. We had news on the Eva Marie Piper Niven plans about the debut coming tonight, the name, that she's been at the Performance Center. We had news of another free agent name that was at the Performance Center training today. We had more news on the Cardona Gage story that's going on and what happened there. We had more news on Samoa Joe heading back to NXT. We broke that story last week. But in addition to that, we've had news on Kona Reeves, what he's doing in NXT, news on Omega versus Moose. We've just had so much over there of late. Subscribe to FightfulSelect.com. Last week, we hit a milestone. Now we are about 40 subscriptions away from being the most subscribed wrestling entity on that platform. Holy crap. Thank you all so much. It means so much. I never thought that Fightful Select would work. So
are we throwing a party? What's happening?
I'd like to. Well, Misfit says what we didn't want to say. Is Piper supposed to be Eva's Duff? I think that's what Vince sees her as. I don't see her as that. I see her as a very talented woman, and I thought she worked her ass off tonight and had a great showing.
And she looked fantastic.
Yep. Jesse Soto says, hope Piper ends up squashing Eva. I hope that's the end game, that if you bring Eva in, she never does anything. She takes all the credit, and she's, you know, she hits her with a, look at you, look at me, and then Piper kills her. That's what we need to do. Brandon Charles Powell says, Dewdrop sounds retributionish. Well, T-Bar actually tweeted D-Drop or something like that. So
when?
Tonight. I don't know. I wonder if he still has it up. I wonder if he heard the name, but then when they didn't post the name, if he deleted it. I wonder. Yep, looks like it.
Oh, oof.
But yeah, I think he had tweeted that. So there you go. And Nick Zotik says, Piper deserved that UK women's title run before going to the main roster. At least team her up with Nikki Cross. That sounds like a really fun team. Oh, that would be a lot of fun. Ryan Martin says, WWE has been able to control the narrative with the Thunderdome, but when fans return, they'll no longer be able to do that. God, I miss fans. Me too, buddy. Me too.
Either that or the fans are just going to be sitting there like waiting for something to happen.
Drew Lytle says NXT would have built her as the new muscle challenger for Raquel. Main roster makes her the lackey of someone known for not being a good wrestler. Yep. I think we're greatly overstating how good NXT books women. They would have had her come in, lose a match, win a match, lose a match, win a match. Then she would have won four in a row. Then she would have challenged for the title. They do that an awful lot there. A match that we're going over time, but we aren't going to have to talk about the main event very much. But let's talk about RK-Bro versus New Day. Holy crap, this was awesome. This is one of my favorite matches that I've seen in the Thunderdome. One of my favorite spots that I've seen recently. Riddle going for that second rope German, and Xavier goes through his legs and sets up the Doomsday Stomp. It looked so good, Denise. This match ruled. It was one of my favorite matches in WWE this year. Xavier and Kofi have been wrestling for 15 years at a high, high level, and they are still getting better and better and better in the ring. I think Matt Riddle might be the best North American cable TV wrestler right now. I think he is fantastic, and Randy Orton is Randy Orton, and that honor roll into the RKO was masterful. This was an awesome match. I don't think I could have hated Raw if this match was on it regardless, because this was such an incredible match. I want your thoughts on this.
This was definitely a good match. I really enjoyed it. But what I have been enjoying the most is the fact that they haven't rushed this RK-Bro thing. Like, they've actually allowed them to grow as a tag team, where, like, even today, you saw them do, like, new things in the ring together that you hadn't seen them do before in some of their previous matches together. And I really like that. Like, there was a moment where they did an assisted corkscrew flip. And I really like that. Like, that incorporation of that, that was pretty cool. And then there was just moments throughout this entire match where I just kept thinking, I'm so glad that they didn't rush this. They're giving them time to come to grow together as a tag team, to develop a personality, to develop, you know, you understand exactly what Matt Riddle is and exactly what Randy Orton is and what they're bringing together to this RK-Bro duo. And it's very clear. It's not confusing whatsoever. It makes sense. And yeah, I think at this point, like, you know, a lot of people would have probably thought, oh, they would have already gone for the title. They would have already been broken up. Hell in a Cell, they would have been facing each other already. I think a lot of people would have thought that this would have been the point that they were at that they probably would have been at right now. And they're not. They're actually letting them breathe it out as a tag team. And that's personally what I have been enjoying the most out of this. And even given the fact that I think they had, did they have one or two commercial breaks during this match? I know they had one for sure.
Two at least.
So even with the commercial breaks, it didn't take me out of this match whatsoever. And that's saying a lot, because so many matches can be good, but because of the commercial breaks, it'll definitely take me out of it. And I didn't feel like that whatsoever with this match here.
The thing I liked so much about this, it's four performers that I care about and are consistently entertaining, and they are not defined by this match or this storyline. Instead, you have a feud going on between these four who are all great performers. But before the match, you have Randy Orton telling Riddle off separately, hey, be yourself, don't be me. So it's not, they're not just consumed with New Day. Then New Day later on are talking to MVP, and MVP is trying to talk some sense into Kofi. And Kofi's like, we're not the same. We don't have the same motivations. New Day and Xavier are not like consumed by just this. They're doing more than one thing. It's something we see an awful lot in AEW, where they plant seeds elsewhere while they're doing something, but we don't see it as much in WWE, and I'm really glad we're seeing it now. This kicked ass. This is a match you all should go out of your way to see. I loved it. I can't say enough good things about it. And I'm going to say the exact opposite about the main event segment, Denise, because this annoyed me. I was so ready to get like 30 minutes of AJ and Drew McIntyre. I was like, listen, this is one of those. I don't care who wins. I don't care who loses. I'm just going to let it go. I'll just enjoy this. And instead, we got promos about William Wallace leading up to this. Cool, man. Wonder who wrote that. And then the Viking Raiders come out to even the odds, and we get a DQ when Drew attacks Lashley. And you know what's happening. Lashley shouldn't have even taken off his suit for this, Denise. This is stupid. Six-man tag. and McIntyre pins Lashley. And I thought one of the best things about Lashley leading up to winning that title was that he never was getting pinned. He was never getting beaten. And WWE's way of saying, no, you're going to be interested in this match is, look, they can get pinned. This person that you think can't get pinned, they can get pinned. I'd rather find that out in the match, in the big match, Denise. That's when I'd like to find it out. Not on the Monday before in a nonsensical, pointless six-man. Now, if Lashley was still in his suit, I would give it a little bit more lenience because it's like he wasn't prepared for this. The man had his gear on under his suit. How does that make sense?
I don't know. I mean, even like with the finish where AJ Styles, you think that he's going to tag Omos, but instead he tags Bobby Lashley. And then Bobby Lashley's like, what the heck's going on? And that's, you know, Drew McIntyre is able to get the win there. All that tells me is that Bobby Lashley is definitely winning at Hell in a Cell. And at least that's how I feel about it now after this Raw main event. You know, I feel like they just gave Drew McIntyre this win so that it's okay when he loses come Hell in a Cell. So I feel like that settled that prediction for me. But the second the Viking Raiders came out, I knew that this was going to turn into a six-man. I was actually kind of surprised that it didn't happen right away. I thought, oh, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe it's not going to happen. But then it did actually happen. The match itself, like even like the beginning, I mean, AJ Styles bumping like crazy for Drew McIntyre. Nothing new, nothing different there. It was the match that it was their match that they can have. Like there was nothing new or different for me. I was just expecting like a pretty, you know, like I don't know if I was expecting a 30-minute match, but I was definitely expecting a lengthy one for sure. But again, once we saw the Viking Raiders come out, I knew that that was not going to be happening anymore.
Yes. There's not much more I can say about that. That's it. We'll have Hell in a Cell this Sunday. Denise will be here with me for that. For those of you who don't know, Denise is joining me for all the pay-per-views now.
Trust me, though.
We have Zach Barber saying Selena needs to run away fast. Hey, buddy, that's a Fightful Select scoop. Subscribe over there. Please do. We are inching closer and closer to becoming the most subscribed wrestling content on that platform. I can't believe it. It's unreal. Ryan Martin says, with Paul Ellering tagging NXT and WWE a lot in tweets, do you think that points to them returning? No, I think they'll just be wrestling again, but we'll see. Evan Wright says, no other company pins title holders like WWE. None. No major companies do that. It's very, very rare elsewhere, and it should be. Joel Pearl says, we doing Hell in a Cell predictions this week? Joel, me and you should probably do that because I don't have anybody for that. So I'd say Wednesday or Thursday, I'll probably call upon you. So we should probably do that. Denise, tell the people where they can follow you.
Twitter and Instagram @_DeniseSalcedo, YouTube.com/DeniseSalcedo. That is where you can follow me. YouTube, Twitter, Instagram. Please go support. It'd be pretty awesome.
Guys, this has been a big week, an even bigger month for Fightful and Fightful Select. Thank you all so much. We've got Fightful, Fightful Select, Fightful MMA, Fightful on Twitch. We've got a million different platforms. Thank you for supporting so many of them. Tuesday, I'm dropping an interview with Maria Kanellis. It is one of my best interviews all year. We go into a really in-depth discussion about the trash bag stuff, about the philosophy of HR and how they should be aware of it. I learned so much talking to Maria Kanellis about this, and I think you guys are really, really going to like it. Until next time, guys, we're out.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.